Good to see each one of you this morning, and thankful to our Lord for his blessings upon us this morning and his goodness towards us. He is so, so good to us. What a blessed Savior we have. And the desire this morning is just for us to take a look and consider about his goodness towards us in particular. We've been going to the book of Psalms and taking a look most recently at Psalm 2. And so I invite you to turn your Bibles to Psalm 2. As we take a look here, our Lord Jesus in the Psalms. Our Lord Jesus in the Psalms. This chapter 2 we've read, and let's read it again. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord. And against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with the rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way. When its wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. In this chapter, it's chock full of references to our Lord. We took a look last time about how the Father said unto him, the Lord Jesus, that he is his Son, and this day he begot him. He brought him to full life and being delivered of his mother. And that we took a look earlier about the rage of the heathen and the vain imagination of men against the Lord God Almighty. And this morning we want to take a look here in verse number 8, where the scripture says, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. The Father speaking to the Son here, and he says to the Son, ask of me, and I'll give thee of the heathen for thine inheritance. The heathen. Much is said about the heathen in the Old Testament. And when we take a look at that, the majority has to do with the heathen's judgment by God. It's amazing how much the heathen are referred to in the Old Testament. And most of it, the lion's share of it, is about judgment. Condemnation and the wrath of God toward the heathen. But that's not all that is there, and praise the Lord for it. When we speak about the heathen, when the scripture speaks to us about the heathen, who's being spoken about? Well, in the strictest sense, the term, the word heathen means those that are unbelieving, those that do not follow after God and do not serve God. But in the biblical standpoint, in the biblical reference, the heathen indeed are the unbelieving, but the greatest reference there are those that are not Jews. Everybody else. There's the Jews, the nation of Israel, and then there's the heathen. Another term that we'll see is this of the Gentiles. The heathen and the Gentiles. The Father says to the Son, ask of me, and I'll give of the heathen. Give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. And you know what? In that dialogue, in that that's represented here in Psalm 2, the Lord Jesus didn't turn him down. And praise be the Lord for it. Much is said about the heathen in the Old Testament. The majority, again, has to do with judgment. Nevertheless, there is some mention. There is some mention to the positive of the deliverance of the heathen and Gentiles. Isaiah 11, verse number 10, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people, a representation, a flag, a buckler, a sign, a testimony, stand for an ensign of the people, to it shall the Gentiles seek. And his rest shall be glorious. And indeed it is. We partake of that now. In Isaiah 42, verse number 6, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. Speaking of our Savior. In Isaiah 49, verse number 6, the scripture says, and he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. And praise the Lord for these references in the Old Testament scripture. There's only these three, but you know what? It's enough. It's enough that the Lord determined and in his work has a mercy and a graciousness and a love even towards the heathen. We take a look at the Gentiles or the heathen in the New Testament. There's much that is said there. It's for us to cover it all would take so many sessions for us to do so. Much is said there. In Matthew chapter 12, verse number 21, Brother Isaiah is being quoted in Matthew 12, 21, in his name shall the Gentiles trust. In his name, in Jesus' name, that's who is being spoken about. In Isaiah 42, 1, the passage of reference, behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, and whom my soul delighteth, I have put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. There in the Old Testament, it's speaking of judgment. But as Brother Matthew takes and sees and understands the working of the Lord Jesus and writes his gospel, he brings it out unto us, and it's revealed more unto us that in this Lord Jesus, who is the judge, is the Savior, that the Gentiles will trust in him. Brother Simeon at the purification of Mary and her presenting herself and the Lord Jesus at the temple. Brother Simeon there taking the Lord Jesus in his arms. He says about him in Luke chapter 2, verse number 32, a light to lighten the Gentiles. Brother John wrote that. He is the light, isn't he? A light to lighten the Gentiles. The Gentiles, the heathen in darkness, cannot seeing our way, having no understanding about what we need, our condition. The Lord Jesus is the light to show us all these things. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Isaiah 42, 6 also referred to there, as we read earlier, for a light to the Gentiles, it says. When we come to the New Testament, we see that the Lord actually has an apostle to the Gentiles. 12 apostles chosen, one of them a betrayer, a devil, replaced by Brother Matthias. But then in time, the Lord called another man, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, a man that was steeped in his self-righteousness, but the Lord broke him down and showed him the Lord Jesus, made him precious unto the salvation of his soul, and he called him to be an apostle to the Gentiles. The writer of all the epistles to the churches, from Romans to 2 Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul. Listen to what it says in the book of Galatians, chapter 1, verse 16. The Apostle writing, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. The heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. The calling was of the Lord, he said. Galatians chapter 2, verse number 9. And when James, Cephas, or Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars, they were the leadership, the front-end leadership in the first church there after the Lord's ascension, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship. They sanctioned and agreed to their work, that we should go unto the heathen and they to the circumcision. Isn't that something? Oh, the Lord's blessing was great upon the Jews, wasn't it? 12 apostles directed to them, and yet not totally and completely, because we know that the Lord took brother people to the house of the centurion, Cornelius, of the Italian band, and he showed him that the Lord saves by the word of his the power of his word and by the moving of his spirit, and Peter didn't lay a hand on him. The man and his household wasn't baptized, but the Lord saved them and changed them. And that's the way that the Lord works today in it. In Galatians chapter 3, verse number 8, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preach before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. And indeed, in Genesis, those passages stand large there, even before that of the nation of Israel coming on the scene. Brother Abram, and his name changed to Abraham. The Lord said in Genesis, the scripture says in Genesis 26, verse number 4, and I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and I will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. In Genesis 28, verse number 14, the Lord tells him again, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And then in Galatians, we have clarity about that blessing toward the heathen and toward sinners. In Galatians chapter 3, verse number 16, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed which is Christ. It's the Lord Jesus that's the blessing to the families of the earth, to the heathen, to the Gentiles. He was speaking of Christ, the apostle tells us, even then. Our Lord, speaking there to brother Ananias, there in Acts chapter 9, we talk about our brother and Paul or Saul, who had been known for taking and hailing the believers and those in the churches, and to even unto death, standing there holding the coats of those that stoned Stephen. And the Lord says to Ananias in Acts chapter 9, go over there to Saul. And he says in verse number 15, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he, Saul, who became Paul, is a chosen vessel unto me, listen, to bear my name before the Gentiles. That's the Lord's focus, purpose, and plan, and kings, and indeed the children of Israel. So what we find is a foretelling in the Old Testament and the accomplishment in the New Testament. Our Lord Jesus came to save Gentiles too. He came to save Gentiles too. I want to give you a picture here. I hadn't seen this in this way in regards to time. Before the coming of the Lord Jesus, we understand from the scriptures that the time of the earth is right about 4,000 years. And before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's 400 years there of silence where there's no word of God by any prophet. And then 1,600 years before that 400 years is the time when the Lord brings the oracle of God, the word of God, through his nation Israel. On the front end with Brother Moses, in those first five books, the writings about the occupying of the land and Joshua and Judges that we're taking a look at on Sunday afternoons, and then the coming of the kings with Saul and with David and with Solomon, then the dividing of the kingdom, and then the unraveling of the whole thing because of their wickedness and their disobedience. In that 1,600 years, or in that time that is there, Actually, I've got that wrong. It's about 1,200 years. The word of God has come to Israel. And so you got 1,200 years and 1,600 years 1,100 years, 400 years, and then about 100 years where the New Testament is written. That's the span of the 1,600 years. Do you realize that there, before the Lord Jesus Christ came and before the New Testament age, in that 400, that 1,100, 1,500 subtracted from 4,000, you got another 2,500 years there? And who is it that the Lord worked in? And who is it that the Lord saved? Oh, there are those that the Scripture tells us about. Did the Lord save on the other side of the flood? Indeed, He did. But I ask this question. Has it been as prolific as He has saved on this side of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ among the Gentiles? I tell you what, brothers and sisters, lost sinner friend, we live in the time of the blessedness of the Lord in the 11th hour indeed. We live in this time of the Gentiles. We live in this church age. And what a blessing it is to live this time and not that 2,500 years before, from the standpoint I speak as a man, because the Lord has been gracious, merciful, and loving towards the heathen, towards Gentiles, toward the non-Jew. And so, if we take a look through the New Testament, oh, there's passage after passage, and the church marvels at it and rejoices in it so much through the book of Acts, where it says that when they come and they get this word, that they rejoice because on the Gentiles was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. That the Lord had granted repentance unto the Gentiles. That church of Jews rejoiced that the Gentiles would be saved too, and the Lord gave them understanding in the Scriptures. The Gentiles besought that these words might be preached unto them the next Sabbath, it tells us in Acts. And lo, the apostle said that we turn to the Gentiles because the Jews rejected this light that has come. And it says there of the Gentiles, as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Now the Lord's got a people. He's got a people amongst the heathen, amongst the Gentiles. Praise be to His name. And you know what? We are the benefactors of that. We are the benefactors. Oh, may we not take it as a light thing. It says there in Acts 14, a reference there, that they rejoiced in that first church there in Jerusalem. The whole church of Jews, they rejoiced how He, God, had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And the Lord said unto me, the Father speaks to the Son in our text verse, ask of me and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. So much that we just don't have time to cover here in one setting. But we want to take a look at a good explanation of it unto us over in the book of Romans. In Romans chapter 11, let's read here, read quickly, how the Lord makes it very clear to us what the Lord has done amongst the heathen, amongst the Gentiles, and bringing salvation unto us. He speaks here about His people in Romans chapter 11. Has God cast away the Jews? No, He hasn't. He says He's given promises, and He sent them prophets, and He will save them. He will bring to pass what He has promised even unto Abraham. He reminds us there and the church there at Rome how in the days of Elijah, the Lord had 7,000 men. Elijah thought he was the only prophet. And that's the working in the way of the Lord. The grace of the Lord, the election of the Lord, not only unto the Jews, but also unto the Gentiles. And Israel, they've not attained what they are seeking for, but the promise and the working of God has attained it. They're blinded. God has given them a slumber. Their own table is a snare unto them. and their eyes are darkened that they may not see. Verse 11, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, speaking of the Jews. But rather, through their fall, salvation has come to the Gentiles. For to provoke them to jealousy. The Jews, in the strictest sense, they don't like us claiming their God. And the Lord's using that, and we'll use that on them. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, listen to that. The fall of Israel being the riches of the world, everybody else, it's a richness unto us. Because there's no greater thing that can come to a sinner, to a soul, to a human being, than the salvation of the Lord. If the fall of them, verse 12, be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them, the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? And we can say to that, amen. We don't have to worry about the Lord bringing the Jews back and the nation of Israel back and that taking a thing away from us as Gentiles. But He used their error, He used their sin, He used their departure from Him. And it did not thwart the Lord, but He brought us unto salvation. For I speak, verse 13, to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. It goes on to say here, if by any means I may provoke to emulation of them which are my flesh, that I might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be? But life from the dead? And indeed it will. Because nothing's impossible with God. He will fulfill that which He promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And He has done a wondrous, merciful thing for us too. For if the first fruit be holy, and don't forget it is, the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. They want you that have been grafted in, we that have been grafted in. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Jesus says He's the vine, and we're the branches. Thou wilt say then, well, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, Israel and the Jews, take heed lest He spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in His goodness. Otherwise, thou also shall be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in by faith. It's the way you and I are saved, by faith in our Lord Jesus. It's the way they're saved. For God is able to graft them in again. He can do it. And He will do it. Verse 24. For if thou were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, Gentiles, heathen, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? They belong, and we don't. But by the love and the graciousness and mercy of God, the power of the Lord, we've been grafted in too. Grafted into our Lord Jesus. Praise be to His name. For I would not, brethren, verse 25, for I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, and it is a mystery indeed, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, your own self-wisdom, have pride over the Jews, and have pride and conceitedness over Israel. That blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And here it is. We're right here. You and I have been born and been brought smack dab in the middle of this time. We are in the 11th hour. And what do I mean by that? Remember those workers? The man's got the vineyard and he goes out for workers. He starts at 6 a.m. and gets workers, and then 9 a.m. and gets workers. Noontime gets workers. Middle of the afternoon gets workers. And then at 5 p.m., when work's going to stop at 6, he goes and gets some more workers. That's you and me. That's you and me, indeed. Grafted in to where we don't even belong. But the Lord's made us to belong. Praise his holy name. We come over here to chapter 15 of Romans. And I read a passage over here. Verse number 8. Let's jump into it here. And now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. And I tell you what, we need to be doing that. We need to be glorifying him for his mercy towards us. As it was written, for this cause I will confess thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. That's talking about Psalm 18:49. Let me read it for you. Therefore I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen. That's the reference in the Old Testament. Gentiles, it's made clear for us here in the New Testament, but in the Old Testament, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. Romans 15:10. And again he saith, rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people. You rejoice with his people. That's Israel. You rejoice too, ye Gentiles. Deuteronomy 32:43 is the reference. Rejoice, O ye nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants. He will render vengeance to his adversaries. He will be merciful unto his land and to his people. Bear there in Romans 15, and again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. A reference to Psalm 117, a very short psalm, two verses. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. Then in Romans 15:12, and again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, and him shall the Gentiles trust. A reference there to Isaiah 11:10. In that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people, as we read earlier. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Look what the Lord has done for you. Look what the Lord has done for you, church there at Rome, and children of God there in that church. Look what the Lord has done for you, Olmsted Baptist Church. May we rejoice in our Lord. We didn't belong, but he's made us to belong. And he has saved us. Indeed, he has brought us a very, very long way. Praise be to his name. What's he say to the Son? And again, speaking in a man, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. Well, Father, I don't know if that'd really be a good idea or not. And the Lord didn't say that, did he? What the Father's desire is the desire of the Son. And he said, yes, I'll take him. Yes, I'll die for him. Yes, I'll give my life, my body, my blood, and my soul for them to bring them to salvation. That is in me. The heathen for an inheritance. Who of us would do such a thing if we could? We'd never even think about it, would we? But our Lord has done so for us. Again, as I mentioned to you in conclusion, how many Gentiles saved in that first 4,000 years of the earth? Oh, there were some saved. There were some. The scripture evidences that. We know that before the flood, there was that line of the Lord's people and of faith, and then there was that line of the unbelieving that we see represented in Cain, don't we? And we know that in that time there, the flood, we counted it up kind of 2,500 years, there was a diminishing of faith, wasn't there? There was a diminishing of the count till it came down to one man and his wife and his three sons and their wives. The flood. And then we know there's men of faith. We see about Brother Job. We see about these priests of the Lord. But we don't hear about a whole lot, do we? And then we hear about his nation, and that's kind of a mixed thing. You know, the Lord uses the nation as a type of the Lord dealing with one of his children. But then we know within the nation there were those that believed and there were those that did not believe. And for 4,000 years, the Lord dealt with few represented by the Scriptures. We don't know the count. No way for us to know. And then he dealt with his nation, and they were rebellious. And then the Lord Jesus Christ came, as was promised by the Father and committed to by the Son. And then he made it very clear that salvation is full and free, not only to Jews, but to Gentiles like you and me. And how many have been saved in this last 2,000 years? No doubt millions. Millions. We are blessed beyond measure. And we indeed, as I've said, are the children called in the 11th hour. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 11, the Scripture says, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands." He's speaking about the Gentiles, the heathen, and the Jews. Verse 12 of Ephesians 2, "that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, zero help and hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh, made near by the blood of Christ." Man. Oh, Lord help us. We ought not forget that. That we not take that for granted. That we by nature, we did not belong. But we've been made to belong by our Lord. And been blessed to be brought to life in this blessed time. We close with 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16. And listen, and maybe this will help us with this passage going forward. "And without controversy," there's no arguing it, "great is the mystery of godliness." We ask the working of God, the purpose of God, the ability of God. When we look on at the Lord, and understand how I say this, when we look on at the working and the power and the awesomeness of the Lord's work, we say many times, why? Not in doubt, but we just can't believe that He would do what He's done. Again, you and I wouldn't have. We would never give our children for another. But the Lord gave His Son, as we saw. We would never look to be gracious and to bring into our family those who are diabolically opposed to us. But the Lord did. The Lord saves His enemies. The Lord, we having a family and having an order and being given such a great way as the nation of Israel was given, we would never seek to bring anybody else into that. But the Lord has. The Lord has. "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness," God's working, God's power, God's ability. God was manifest in the flesh. We would have never stepped down from a throne to do that. Justified in the Spirit as a man, and being God the Son, he has all the Spirit of God. The seven spirits of God are there at his throne in heaven. Isaiah testified that all the Spirit of God is poured out upon him, the Lord Jesus being a man. Scene of angels in this state having come as a man. They're very jealous. The angels of God are very jealous over the Lord Jesus. No doubt the angels were held back by the power of God as he was so treated and abused and suffered there on the cross. They are zealous to the end of the glory and righteousness and goodness of God. Scene of angels as a man. Preached unto the Gentiles. Really? Yes. For sure. Not only to the Jews, but also unto we heathen. He's been preached unto us. Believed on in the world. Yes, that even the heathen are brought to faith. The Gentiles are brought to faith in him and received up to glory. He ascended. He ascended forevermore, and we, even heathen and Gentiles of this earth, will live with him forever. How can it be? But it is so. Praise be unto his name. If you're here and you're not saved, we point you to our Lord Jesus Christ. You have a great blessing being born in this time when the Word of God and the Gospel of the Lord is so free and made so clear unto us. Don't reject him. Don't reject his truth. Don't reject the Father's Savior. Don't reject the Gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, but receive it. Repent of your sins and believe and trust in him. We pray for you. May the Lord help us.